thought upon our heart this evening. And the title to it tonight will probably tickle some of you. If you'll turn with us to the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. I really hadn't intended on preaching this, but I have been studying this recently, and this is what the Lord give us tonight. I thought I was going in a different direction with this, and I may still get the two ideas to come together, but this will be the Lord's doing. I've never used these verses of scriptures to preach before, but there's first time for everything. So we'll just try to do what the Lord would have for us to do tonight and serve Him, certainly. 12th chapter of the book of Acts, first verse says this: "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions, or however you say that, that's a nice word there, of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. It says, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forth when the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I have a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. When he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down to Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And I know it's a long reading lesson, but we just got a few more verses to read the entire chapter. And it says, and Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, and they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." And if we could, for just a moment tonight, take for a title for this, and I know it's going to seem a little funny, but this is what the Lord has given me tonight. It would be "The Jailhouse Rock, God's Honor and God's Glory." And I'm not exactly sure who wrote the song Jailhouse Rock, but I guarantee it was not intended in this manner. A lot of times in the Scriptures, God's people found them in places that they really didn't want to be. I don't know how many of you tonight would really want us to go out here and take you down to the jail and say, well, you stay in there all night, but I certainly wouldn't want to go. But you know, God's people from time to time have found them in places, have found themselves in jail over the Lord's cause. Even centuries past and years past, people have gone to jail over serving the Lord. But I want to say tonight that God gets His honor and glory in ways that you and I don't understand sometimes. We might think that going to jail would be a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. And in this case, it really would be a horrible, horrible thing. You think about what Peter was enduring here. Peter was taken to prison because Herod, being who Herod was, always seemed to have it out for God's people. Have you ever noticed that no matter what God's people do, somebody is always trying to squash it out, or they're trying to take a hold of it, take a hold of God's people and just destroy them? Well, Herod was no different. Herod always had this desire to completely destroy and utterly annihilate anything that had to do with the true work of God. So as Herod had James, the brother of John, killed, the Jews saw that it pleased the Jews that he did that. So what does Herod do? Herod goes and he gets Peter and he binds him up and he takes him and throws him in jail. And you see, they must have really thought that Peter had some kind of supernatural power, or believed that Peter was a threat, because they didn't just toss him in a jail cell and just leave him there. No, no. They had to go get all of these soldiers to go get him. You see, it didn't just take one or two. They had to take a whole bunch so that they could get Peter, because I guarantee you they knew that something had a hold of Peter. They had seen in times past God's glory shine about these men and the things that they had been doing. So they knew that Peter had somebody on his side. They knew that God was with Peter. And then we go on and it says that Peter was kept in prison. But you know, Peter might have gone to prison, but something was stirring on the other end of that. You see, God's people didn't just allow Peter to go to prison and say, "Ah, well, he's there. We're just going to write Peter off and just cast him out and realize he's there and forget all about him." That's not what the church did. You talk about a church family that got behind somebody that had been serving the Lord. They went after Peter, and what did they do? They prayed constantly that Peter would be let go so that he could go and continue on his work. You want to talk about getting honor and glory? God gets His honor and His glory. God is going to get honor and glory out of our lives. I read over in some verses of Scripture, I believe found over, I believe it is in Philippians, and it talks about remembering and knowing that God keeps our vessel, or keeping our vessel in such a way that it gives honor and glory to God. I thought about many times how Peter could have been a normal person, just going about doing normal everyday things, and they would have left him alone. But Peter served God and loved God so much that everybody around him took notice. And so what they did is they take him and they cast him in prison for serving God. But even in a prison cell, God can get His honor and His glory out of you and I. Even if it takes that for our lives, we should say, what a great thing it is that God could use us for that reason. I believe tonight that God deserves honor and He deserves glory. He has deserved it since the beginning of time, and He will deserve it for all eternity. And I guess tonight, this message may sound elementary, and it may sound something that is a little elementary in the way that we're delivering it, but I want you to realize something tonight. There have been a lot of times when God's people have seen no way to carry on. No doubt as they go back, this church, knowing that Peter has been cast into prison, they just realize the same thing is fixing to happen to him that's happened to James. They know that Peter is bound to die because of the way that Peter was going to continue to stand for God and what God desired to happen. They knew that there was no way that they could get Peter out. So what did they do? They went and they prayed, "Lord, have mercy on Peter." Don't you know that they got down together and they began to pray. And they began to ask the Lord, "Lord, would you please just give Peter a measure of faith? Lord, would you just give Peter what he needs to be there in prison?" You know what God does? And I told you last week on Sunday evening, God is always right on time. And in this case, God shows up again, right on time. Now I want you to realize they weren't going to leave Peter there very long. They were going to get ready to get rid of Peter. They weren't going to keep him around in that jail cell or that prison very long. They had very much plans, I believe, to take Peter and kill him. Just get rid of him. There'd be another Christian that was gone, and they'd have nothing else to do with him. But you read about what Herod had there with Peter. Peter, being a man just like all of us, had probably no strength that was any greater than any of us men here tonight. And so do you really think Peter was going to get out of this prison? You really think by any intention, Peter thought, well, if I go up to these bars, they're just going to burst open and I'm going to come out just walking willy-nilly. No, no. You see, God always does things His way. Peter knew that. I know that. You know that. And so no doubt Peter probably thought, here I am in this prison. And I want you to think about what was there with him. It said in the same night that he was taken to prison, Peter was sleeping between what? Two soldiers. Bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now this was just an ordinary man. But you see, Herod, in the back of his mind, remembered just exactly who he was dealing with. You see, I believe even in that, God got honor and glory out of what was taking place there. Because Herod realized, Peter being who he was, there's no way he's getting out. But because of who was with Peter, Herod realized that he had to do something to make sure Peter stayed exactly where he was. And so Peter, in the middle of the night, this angel comes and says, "You get dressed and you come with me." Now, I don't know about the rest of you all, but I've never had an angel show up and tell me to get dressed and go with him. Never happened. But I'm going to tell you on this night, Peter was fixing to bust out of that place. And you know who was going to be the one doing the busting out? God Himself. God is the only one that can get us out of situations sometimes that nobody else can get us out of. I couldn't get myself out of prison if I wanted to. You put me in a wet paper sack and I'd have a hard time getting out of it. But I guarantee you, with God's help, He can get us out of any situation. And here He comes again for Peter. You talk about a jailhouse rock for God's honor and glory. God was going to get some honor and glory out of this. Peter goes and he leaves the prison. And it talks about going through the city and how he was going through the gates and different things. And you know the first place that Peter goes? To the house where the people are praying. And what does he do? As he walks up, he goes and he knocks on the door. Or knocks on the gate. And Rhoda's standing there. No doubt listening for who's going to be there. And what does she hear? Peter's voice. Wasn't it just a few minutes ago? Just a few verses ago, these people were over here praying to get Peter out of prison. Well, we've got to do something. We'll drop to our knees and we'll pray. That's their only defense that they had to get Peter out of there, was to pray and ask God to get him out of that situation. And God does. So Peter knocks at the door. And the damsel, or Rhoda, comes and she listens. Now, at my apartment, there's this little viewfinder in the door. And somebody, being the smart one that they were, has painted over it. So even if someone knocks on the door, I can't see who it is. So if you come to my door, you better be prepared to answer for who's on the other side of it. Now, Peter being there, and no doubt Rhoda probably asked, "Who's there? Who's knocking in the middle of this night at our door?" It's Peter. Rhoda got so excited that she just left Peter standing there. Didn't even let him in. She goes back and she begins to tell them, "Peter's out there." And they thought, well, he's in prison. How did he get out? You're just a mad lady. Surely it's his angel. Surely it's a ghost. It can't be Peter. There's no way that he got out. You know who was standing out there? Still knocking at the door. Peter himself. Just gotten out of prison and can't get through the next door. Only God can do those types of things. But as they stand around there, they begin to question old Rhoda. you're just mad. But she just kept saying, I know that I heard Peter's voice. I know that it's him. And they said, it's his angel. Peter keeps knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. You know who they realized got him out of prison? God himself. God's honor and glory was reestablished in that. It was reestablished to the point that no doubt this church, this early church, who had already seen a lot of things take place, they'd seen some of their church members and family members lose their lives for the cause of Christ. They'd been taken out and beaten and mocked and different things. Stephen gets stoned over in a few chapters from here. And they lost a lot of people that they loved. And no doubt, knowing that Peter was where he was, they had every right to believe that Peter was done and there was nothing else he could do. But God wasn't done with Peter. Because God still had a plan for old Peter, and Peter still had honor and glory to give the Lord. I want to say this. I believe the very moment that you and I stop giving God honor and glory, God takes us out of this world. When our death brings God more honor and glory than our living, I believe God takes us out of here so that we can give Him honor and glory in a place where we can give Him perfect honor and glory. In a place that's not of this world, but in a heavenly realm far beyond what you and I know. But I'm glad that Peter got the chance to rock that old jailhouse. You think about when they woke up that next morning. These two soldiers that had been laying there or in that jail cell with him probably thought, what in the world are we going to do? We've lost Peter. Peter has gotten away from us. Two soldiers, two chains, people keeping the guard at the door. And the only one that could do that was God Himself. God got Peter out of this horrible situation. And the only reason, and I believe this with all of my heart, that the reason God gets His children in trouble sometimes, not necessarily in trouble, saying that we've done something wrong or gets us into something that'll keep us or stain our integrity, I'll put it that way. But the reason that we go through things sometimes in the battle for the Lord is for God to get honor and glory. There's a lot of times you and I struggle with things. We go through valleys in our lives so that God can get honor and glory out of the things that have taken place. No doubt this church, as they prayed for Peter, they prayed for his release. And then when it happened, I guarantee you, they began to worship and praise God for another victory. You know, Mount Calvary Church should praise God for these victories that the Lord has done for us. These are victories. When people get saved, do you realize what we're fighting? We're fighting the powers and principalities of this world because they have a hold on people's souls. And they're in jail. They are captured by sin. And the only thing that can get them out of that is God Himself. What people need today, and I'm so thankful that Joe and Kathy have been saved and they've been rescued from a place that keeps their soul and it wraps their soul up in sin. But you see, what God does is He takes that old jailhouse of sin and shame and He shakes it up for His honor and His glory. That's the reason that people get saved, to honor and glorify the name of Jesus. And I'm glad that He does that. He's the only one that can do those types of things. I want to go on, if the Lord will help us tonight, into this 20th verse here. You can just imagine, as Herod gets word of what has taken place, Peter, thrown in jail, gets out. What does he do? He has those men killed. And Herod, being the pompous, arrogant king that he was, decides he's going to have him a big ceremony there in this place to show how great that King Herod is, and to show his might
And so that Herod would get honor and Herod would get glory. You know, Herod, all throughout the scriptures that he's in, has been trying to take the place of the King of Heaven. He's been trying ever since to stomp out God or stomp out Jesus from this world. And what he does is he continues to do that through his lineage, through his family. Herod wants that honor and Herod wants that glory. You remember me preaching a few weeks ago at our revival about the big temple there in Jerusalem. Herod's great temple that he had been building. Why? Herod really did that, not that God would be honored, but that he would be honored and he would be glorified in him. But then you get over here to the 21st verse of the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. It says, upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, he sat upon his throne and made an oration on them. Just began to speak out and talk about the things that he had done. He began to speak and dressed in these fine royal attire. I guess it was probably beautiful robes that he'd been given. I really don't know what a king would have looked like back then, but I guarantee it was big and it was something that everybody took notice of. And you know what Herod was doing? He was treading on very dangerous ground. You know, when we start to honor and glorify ourselves more than we honor and glorify the Lord, we get ourselves in trouble. We get ourselves in a heap of trouble when we think that we've put ourselves on a higher plane than God Himself. And I believe Herod, in his own mind, believed that Herod was God. I believe that. I believe that he thought old Herod was the best that there was. And the people that had gathered around gave a shout, began to call out saying, it is the voice of God and not of a man. And here comes that angel again and smites old Herod. Herod, probably in the middle of his oration, these people are calling out. And Herod, I guess, just drops dead right there in front of all of them. You think about that. God gets His honor and glory. When we try to honor and glorify ourselves, God always gets honor and glory. And in this instant, God takes Herod, one of the most evil men in the Bible, and He smites him to the point that he dies in front of everybody when Herod tries to do what Herod has always tried to do. And that is take the place of God. But you know what? Even in the middle of this, in the jailhouse, God gets honor and glory. In front of all of these people, when Herod has gathered them together, God gets honor and glory. You talk about over there when Paul and Silas began to go into the jail. And turn over there with me tonight, Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, very familiar scriptures that we're reading tonight. You know, we talk about jail, and like I said, I'd rather not go. But I guess if God has us go, what better thing could happen than people get saved from going in there? What better thing could happen than to know that someone has been born again through the efforts that you've gone through? Old Paul and old Silas get in there, Acts chapter 16, verse 20. It says, and brought them to the magistrates, if you remember. They'd gone and they had preached to Lydia. And Lydia was converted. Lydia had been saved. She was a person that people were making money off of. And once she'd been saved, the things that she'd been doing, she couldn't do anymore. And that made them upset. So Paul and Silas get thrown in jail. Another night that the jailhouse gets rocked once again. You see, God has a way of being everywhere, even in a jailhouse. He always, in my opinion, He always meets with us here at Mount Calvary. But I'm glad that God just doesn't limit Himself to this place only. I'm glad that God gets His honor and His glory from all kinds of places, because I'm convinced that these people would have never been saved had Paul and Silas never ended up there. But you see, God knows where we need to go. I told you, sometimes we end up in some valleys and some tribulations and some trials for the Lord's cause, but it's because of the Lord's honor and His glory. It says, "And brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against him, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas." You know, I've thought many times about these verses of Scripture, about what was taking place here, and I'm going to close with these verses of Scripture. You know, we think a lot of times that the only place people can get saved is in this place. I love to see people get saved in church. I want to see a lot of people get saved here at Mount Calvary. That's my desire. But you know, as they'd been thrown in prison, Paul and Silas could have done like you and I would have done, probably like I would have done, and said, I'm in prison, I'm just going to turn my back on this whole situation and ride it out until I get out of here. That didn't happen. Paul and Silas, getting in there, began to pray, and they began to sing these songs unto the Lord. You know, really, I've never even been inside a jail cell. I've never even been in a jail. But I can only imagine that at midnight, people aren't singing praises to God and praying. They might be praying, but they're probably not praying like Paul and Silas were praying. They'd been beaten, they'd been mocked, they'd been scourged, they had been probably just given all of these things to make them just wish they were dead. But instead of getting downtrodden and sad and woe is me, God gets His honor and glory again. They began to sing and praise the Lord, and you want to talk about a jailhouse rocking. When the power of God came on that place, the doors of the jail sprung open. And the old jailer probably thought, oh good gracious, I'm going to be killed and I'm going to lose my job. So he runs and he takes the sword and he's ready to just fall on it because he knows that there's no way that these prisoners have stayed there even though they have an opportunity to get out. He knows that. But something about what Paul and Silas was saying intrigued them. No doubt, these people thought, these men are in prison, and here they are singing to a God. They're praying to a God. Why don't they just get out and leave and get out of here? Why don't they just do that? But the jailer goes around and he sees not one person has left. You know the only thing that can do that is God. Why, if you'd have opened up them jail cells and I'd been there, I'd been fast out the door before you knew what was going on. I would have left the scene. I wouldn't have stuck around. But those people wanted to hear about God. And you talk about Paul opening up. The jailer asks, he says, what do I have to do so I can be saved? And old Paul begins to tell him about what it takes to get saved. You know, every single one of us, every single day that we're out and about, we have opportunities to tell somebody about the Lord. You know what that does when we tell somebody about God? It gives Him honor and it gives Him glory. Now, I don't want any of you to go to jail. So this next week, I don't want somebody to call me at midnight and say, Brother Taylor, I'm in jail and I'm singing praises and praying at midnight. Will you come get me out? Because I'm going to ask, number one, why you're there. If you're there for telling somebody about God, I'll be right there with you. If you've done something silly enough to get in there, I'm going to leave you there. But I'm going to tell you, we all have opportunities to give God honor and glory other than just here. When you're here at Mount Calvary, I expect you to give God honor and glory. He expects me to give Him honor and glory. But when we're leaving this place and we're out in the world, I believe God expects us to give Him honor and glory there, even if it means being in a jail cell. But I am so thankful that God is able to take a man like Peter, toss him in jail between two soldiers, no doubt strong, big soldiers, probably not big wimps like me. It wouldn't take much to toss me to the side and get out. But these men were probably big Roman soldiers, just big men. And even they couldn't keep Peter in there. The bars of the prison couldn't keep Peter in there. They couldn't keep Paul and Silas in. They sprung open. The earthquake came and just popped them open. But you know what that was all doing? Giving God honor and glory. Even the very earth that we stand on tonight, stand in, stand on, even the very wind that blows through the trees gives God honor and it gives God glory. You may think preacher has lost his mind thinking that the Jailhouse Rock is a song about giving God honor and glory. I know that the original song is not. I know that. But you know, sometimes God is able to rock us, rock our world, rock things in a way that only God can get honor and glory out of it. God to take someone like me, to call him to save his soul, first of all, and call him to preach so that he might get his honor and his glory. That's only God that can do that. And so I tell you tonight as we close this message, never be afraid to give God honor and glory, because I want you to know something. Even in our darkest places, even in that jail cell, Peter was just fast asleep. A child of God can rest easy knowing this, that God is with us. He's with Peter there, he's with Paul, and he's with Silas. And you think, God letting somebody go to jail don't seem like a very good thing. God just wanted his honor and glory. You know what happened out of Paul and Silas going to jail? I believe there were a few people that got saved that night. You know, if that's what it takes to see people get saved, I guess Metro Police can come toss me in jail if that's what it takes to see people get saved. I'd much rather go down there and preach to them on my own accord than somebody to toss me in there. But I'll say this, wherever we get an opportunity to give God honor and glory, let us not be afraid to do so. May God bless you. It's our prayer while we stand together and while we sing.